There's all these people crying. What the heck? That's beautiful, Linda. Sinuses. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. So you're up there, my wife back there, Joe over here, Noel. It just, wow. I haven't started to sing and I can make you cry. It's a gift. It's a gift. I'll tell you what else is a gift. Bryn. Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah, you can come in late, but, man, we prayed you up already. Wednesday, 5:30. Yep, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. It's so good to have you here. Absolutely. And our thoughts and prayers continue to be with you and your dad, Steve. Our prayers with you and sure all of you to just keep all of you in prayers. So, the sermon title is a rip-off of Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Anybody here ever read it? All right, so Norma Ann, you and I, we'll just... TV series? Movie? Did you do the whole bit? No? Yeah? All right. I have a confession to make. I'm ripping off the title... But I never saw the TV series, never saw the movie, did not read the series of books. I only very quickly went through the first book because Andreas had it as a reading assignment, and somehow I drew the short straw, and Diana said, "You got to quiz your son to make sure he knows this book." That's about as, you know, it's a bizarre book. It's a bizarre, you know, like the very first part of the book, Earth gets wiped out by aliens because they want to put in an interstellar highway or something like that. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. But if you have ever read, it's no more bizarre than the book of Acts. You know, I mean, if you've ever read the book of Acts and seen some of the things that happened, Linda was singing, you know, about leading, and if you follow God and God leads you, and she's singing up here so angelically, like, "Whoa, it's all sweetness and light." No, not so much. All right, this is truth. This is truth. It's in the Bible. Have you ever read Peter and Cornelius? Really? Do you remember that? That's in the book of Acts. Do you remember? Paul, oh my God, the man's getting shipwrecked, he gets beaten, robbed, all these strange people he meets. And then today's reading that Lisa read, what do we have? We have Philip meeting an Ethiopian eunuch. When's the last time you met a eunuch? All right, you want to talk about some bizarre trips and bizarre places and bizarre people, you don't have to read Douglas Adams. All you have to do is read the book of Acts. Just read anywhere in the Bible. You got all kinds of bizarre stories. It makes you feel normal. That's why I read the Bible. Anytime I'm feeling low, I read the Bible. I'm better than that. Hope God grades on a curve. I'm going to be better than that. I'm not going to do that. I'm all right. So you know, it kind of helps. It kind of helps because sometimes, you know, this is sometimes. Have you ever noticed how strangers are strange? Have you ever had that, you know, where people are different? They are. They really are. They're different. Tom Long, professor of preaching, I forget where now, someplace in Georgia, Emory, I think it is, and he may be retired now. He's Presbyterian, which is kind of bizarre because, you know, Presbyterians. So anyways, he talks, he grew up in Georgia, again, strange, all right? Not as bad as South Carolina, but not much better, all right? And you have this, he talks about, in it was the late 40s, early 50s, in his church, small, rural, Presbyterian church in Georgia. Anybody here ever grow up in a small, rural community? Some of you know what I'm talking about, okay? You know everybody. You know what they buy at the grocery store, okay? You know everybody. And that's the kind of community he grew up in. And in church, everybody had their own pew. Everybody had their own place. Everybody knew everybody. And that's the way it was. Except this one Sunday. And this one Sunday, this guy came in to their church. Came into their church. And he was different. He was different because nobody had ever seen him before. They didn't know who he was. This was at a time when people could be different and you're not being very welcoming because you don't know. You know, there's railroad tracks on the other side. He could have been one of those people, you know, the hobos that could have just come off the train. You know, he was different. And he came in a little bit late to the service and he sat in the back. And he wasn't disruptive. And he didn't say anything to anybody. And no one said anything to him. And at the end of the service, he left. And the elders of the church met, Tom said, by a tree out in the front yard of the gravel parking lot. And they began to talk amongst themselves about this stranger who had come to church. And they weren't sure, but Tom said, I think they were thinking that maybe God had just given them a test and they had flunked. They had flunked. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. It is so hard sometimes to be able to be welcoming and accepting of people who are different than us. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. We have so many differences, cultural differences and geographical differences and political differences. And sometimes it's hard. What Linda read and what the scriptures remind us is that if we're going to be obedient to the Spirit is going to lead us, and sometimes the Spirit can lead us in uncomfortable places. Sometimes it's not always just all. When I was younger, I was so much more enthusiastic. I was kind of like, you ever, well, okay, Norman, I know you did. Anybody who read Douglas Adams, you know Star Trek, all right? Remember Star Trek? Remember the TV series? Okay. Remember how it began? You know, space, the final frontier. I'm like, I'm astronaut material. I drink Tang. I am ready to go. Sign me up. And it just went on. Remember? These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. You're like, sign me up. I am ready to go. Be me, Scotty. I'm yours. Let's go. 5-year mission to boldly go. I am so bold. Let's go out there, explore new civilizations and life forms. I'm ready. And I'm still waiting. And I have discovered that God doesn't call me to go into space. I have discovered that the greatest space is the distance between my head and my heart. Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever tried? You know something in your head. You know this is the right thing to do. You know, and yet it's so difficult sometimes. It's hard sometimes. It's not a 5-year mission, it's a lifetime commitment. And we don't always go boldly, but we try. We try to go obediently, to cross this great divide that can separate us, that can sometimes separate us from who God intends us to be. One world, one planet, one community. But we allow things to separate us. Have you ever noticed how we can be sometimes? I love stories about old curmudgeon men. I'm finding it easier and easier to relate to old curmudgeon men. And I'm like, I could be like that. I remember there's a guy, old curmudgeon guy, going to Christmas shopping. So he's already pissed off. All right? Because it's supposed to be the wife's job. He's not supposed to be the one that has to do it. But he got stuck doing it. So he's having to go through the mall. There's all these people, and he doesn't like people. That's why he likes it. And he's dealing with all of this, and he's got to find this, and he's got to list, get this, get that. He's just fighting the crowd. He's just, Except for, he sees, remember those Mrs. Field cookies, those stores? Okay. Things are looking better. As soon as I finish that shopping, I'm going to Mrs. Field's Cookies. Goes over, he finishes the shopping in a hurry. All right? All of a sudden, he's motivated. Goes to Mrs. Field's Cookies. You know, they used to have those specials. You get three for like $1 or three for $2 or something like that, you know. So he gets three cookies. Wife's not with him. He can eat as many as he wants. He's got the cookies, he's got a smile on his face, he's just so happy, he's got his packages, puts cookies in there, all right? Now he wants to find a place to sit down and have the cookies while they're still warm, you know? Because of the chocolate chips, you know how they can be all like melty and tasty that way, you know? He can't find a place to sit. Finally, you know where they have those fake trees or real trees or whatever, but they have those little rings of benches around it, all right? So there's an opening, and he's desperate. He's not happy now. The happy feeling is gone. Because sitting right next to that is a woman who is clearly confused. She's probably all of 15, all right? But she woke up and she couldn't figure out what color to make her hair. You know, it's all these different colors and everything. And she has all these piercings, you know, these hoops. You know, like she couldn't figure out which earring to wear, so she just wore all 10 of them, all along an ear. And that wasn't enough, so she's had some in her nose and on her lips. And but he really wants the Mrs. Fields cookies, you know. And then he notices how she's dressed, and she's got tattoos, and, you know, she's 15. Is she going to grow into these? What is she doing here? But he's desperate, so he sits down, okay? He sits down. Package is there. There's the Mrs. Fields cookies. He reaches in the bag, takes one, and starts eating it. She reached in the bag and took. She smiles at him. Chomp. Dip. 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 There are words in his head. He's not saying them yet. But his mouth is filled with Mrs. Field cookie, but he's like, he gives a, you know how adults can be, they give him that look. You know, you give him that look, and that look says, oh, you're in big trouble. Except for it's not working. She just continues to smile. She's got those earbud things in, you know, so she's just like bobbing around. Not going to do any good to say anything to her anyway. She's not going to hear what I have to say. Finishes the cookie. She's finishing the cookie. She reached in. Grabbed the last cookie. There's only three. Grabbed the last cookie. In his face, breaks it in half. Gives him half and shoves the other half in her mouth. He shoves it in his mouth, grabs his packages. He just, he goes out, puts the packages, he opens the trunk, gets ready to put the packages in the car, and notices on the top of his packages is his bag of cookies. Oh, dear. Did I just eat her cookies? I ate, and all she did was smile at me. She didn't get angry. She didn't say, this is why they shouldn't let old farts like you out in the public. No. Crossed a cultural divide with friendship, understanding, and cookies. They could not have been more polar opposite if they had tried. You know, he had communion and didn't even know it. He was a recipient of grace and didn't even know it. God's grace was made manifest through a spiritual connection, and he was totally unaware. And yet he was blessed. He was blessed by one who was different and one who was strange and one who had nothing in common with him except for a spirit of grace and generosity. It makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in the world when we allow those things to happen. Some of you may have remembered a story. A boy, he's about 5, 6 years old, decides he's going to have lunch with God. All right? He's going to have lunch with God, and so he packs his little lunch pack, you know. He's got cupcakes in there and a couple cans of root beer because he has it on good authority that God likes cupcakes and God likes root beer, and off he's going to go to have lunch with God. And he goes a couple blocks, and there on the bench, he sees this old woman just watching the pigeons, just sitting on a bench. So he goes up there, sits on the bench next to her, looks at her, and he thinks she looks hungry. So he opens up his lunchbox and he gives her a cupcake. She smiled. Just smiled. She didn't say anything. She just smiled at him. And he was like, wow, that is a great smile. So he offered her a root beer. The smile got even bigger. This is great. Just having root beer and cupcakes and watching the pigeons sitting on a bench. Time comes, he has to go back home, gathers stuff, gets off the park bench, walks a couple steps, turns and runs to her and gives her a great big hug. Biggest smile you had ever seen. Biggest smile. He comes home. He's just skipping around, just dancing, just happy. And mom, wow, you are so happy. What'd you do today? I had lunch with God. You know, she's got the biggest smile. The old lady came home just beaming. And her son noticed and said, Mom, what are you so happy about? And she goes, I had lunch with God. You know, he's a lot younger than I thought he would be. The opportunities that are presented to us, it doesn't have to be to Ethiopia. Sometimes it'll be Tennessee. Sometimes it'll be North Carolina. Who knows where it'll be? It could be Orlando. It could be West Palm Beach. The opportunities God gives to us to reach across the divide, to help us understand that diversity was not a mistake. Diversity is a gift intended for us to be able to celebrate, intended for us to do it more than just hold on to, but to be able to share it with other people. It makes all the difference in the world. To be able to share in communion, whether it's a Mrs. Fields cookie or a cupcake and root beer, whether it's here in the United States. I remember a story. Fred Craddock told you this story about a time when he was in Canada, of all places, Canada. It's cold up there. I've been to Canada in July. It's a frozen tundra. It's terrible. But he was up there in November, and he had forgotten to pack a heavy jacket, and they had a blizzard. And the hotel he was staying in didn't have a restaurant. And he was hungry. And he wanted something hot. And he had no heavy jacket. So he couldn't walk too far. And the people who had invited him to speak couldn't get to him because of all the snow. So they called him up and said, there's a little diner right around the corner. That's the best you got. So he put on the little cardigan sweater. You know how professors had those cardigan sweaters. Goes out in this blizzard, all right, to go into this little diner. And he goes into the little diner, and it is packed. Packed. I mean, not an empty chair, not an empty table, stools at the counter, everywhere, okay? He opens the door. Of course, the cold wind blasts through. Close the door! Close the door! He's closing the door, you know. And some people over in the booth scoot over, and he sits down. Waiter comes by, glass of water, boom. Menu, boom. He says, I'd like to have some coffee. We don't have any coffee. We don't have any left. I'd like to have some eggs. We don't have any eggs. I'll have some pancakes. I don't have any pancakes. Fred says, okay, well, let's make this easy. What do you have? I have soup. Okay, I'll have soup for breakfast. I'm good with that. Fine. Waiter comes back with his grayish, brownish liquid steam coming up, so it's warm. But it kind of looks like the color of a mouse. And it's coming up and it smells, and he's like, And his stomach is telling his mouth, if you so much as think about it. But it's warm, and he puts his hands on the bowl and lets the steam come up to help thaw his face. Door opens. Close the door, it's cold. A bag lady. You know what I mean when I say bag lady, don't you? Homeless, on the street, dressed in rags, carrying bags. Everybody scoots over on the other side of his bench, scoots over, makes way for her, sit down. Waiter comes by, puts down a glass of water, hands her a menu. She says, I don't have any money. I'm not here to eat. Takes the menu away, takes a glass of water. If you're not going to eat here, you can't stay here. She goes to stand up, to walk out. And everybody in the diner got up. Fred gets up too. They all start going out the door. All right, she can stay. And Fred asks the guy next to him, Who is she? We were all getting ready to leave. He says, I don't know. Never saw her before in my life. But if she ain't welcome here, no one's welcome here. And Fred said, so I decided to try the soup. He said it had a very peculiar taste, a distinctive taste. He said, and then it reminded me of a taste. He said, it reminded me of a taste of bread and grape juice that I had had in church. When we are bold enough and obedient enough, and willing enough to reach across that which would divide us with a bridge. That's called communion. Whether it's here at this table with this bread and this cup, whether it's on a mall bench with Mrs. Fields cookies, on a park bench with cupcakes and root beer, or in a cold, cold diner in Canada with mousy gray-brown soup. Anytime we are obedient to the Spirit, expressing God's love and expressing God's grace, God's creation is magnified and His design comes that much closer into being. Amen.